entity, a very important entity for us to understand the development of the actually ensure that they do what the Bible requires and ensure that they are very smoothly. If I'm a few minutes late, I will profusely apologize for that. I was on my way, but I think I'm no longer very quick. I must give myself at least 5 minutes ahead of the starting time. Thank you very much for attending this meeting. In this arrangement, I'm trying to say our meeting is declared open and there will be on business. But please bear with me. There is some clarification that I want to do with the honorable members. I do know that NDA is coming with the board. Okay. This is an internal matter, but it's not that private. There is a strong feeling that some members have an understanding or a concern that the agenda for today has been changed. And in a short notice, or not necessarily formal, I must explain before I'm advised to apologize if I have to for this report. One, the matter that is on our agenda and our program is the transformation of SASSA in this country, which is an entity that is doing work on behalf of social development. We will remember, honorable members, that one, this entity was established to respond to the poverty that was really grinding our communities. Number two, it was not envisaged that it would be permanently a base for social development. I'm driving to the structural arrangement of that particular organ or in entity, SASSA. It was going to be funded by all departments and would be self-sufficient and do its own work. What has come is that it continued to do this work without any support from any government department, to an extent that it's now doing all the three. That's why you've got NGA. That's why it's SASSA. That's why there is DSDG. But the issue in this meeting is that what is supposed to come as a presentation by SASSA honorable members, especially Honorable Masango and Honorable Wilson, from whom I received this letter of complaint or of advice, because I read it thoroughly and without emotion. And at the end, I found a sentence that is to say, I must make arrangements, agency, that they come and present. But their concern is that it's not really, it's me blocking them. I mean, blocking SASSA to make this presentation. And I don't think I have any interest, vested interest, in what is supposed to be presented in this meeting. So one, the reason for this change is because we were informed, but Secretary, you will tell me if there's a letter or so from the department. For me, that letter or whatever was not important. What was important to me was that this is a political policy matter. It's about policy, it's not operational. So for the new DG to come here and make presentations, delivery to us that what did the cabinet say in their presentation in a way of wanting to comply with the court decision. That would come directly from the horse's mouth. Two, the operational arrangements that are a transition from SAFA to insourcing that particular service. That is a policy matter. So the minister, as we all know, she chairs some committees, in some committees or commissions in the New York process. She is there. And it is therefore wouldn't be wise for us to invite the department when she has already said she's coming back this particular weekend, and if she arrives, she will talk to me as to when the meeting must be. So that's the thing I want to clarify. And with I also, before Honorable Masango can say, would want to confirm, because our communications are through the Secretary of the Portfolio Committee, and communication to members will always be in that regard. And more so, there was no reason why we would behave as if we've got only one program, that was SAFA. Because even if the minister has got reasons not to come, which are actually understandable, there was no way the meeting wouldn't fit, because we've got a plethora of matters to address. So can I request the secretary to clarify this particular matter so that we can say very, very smoothly in what we're gonna discuss. I'll give a few minutes to this topic because we are itching to know how is this entity organized and structured to be able to devolve so that we can get rid of poverty. We are being informed, honorable members, that if a child gets, say, a pint of milk daily, that constitutes 30 liters per month, which costs 232, while we're actually giving them 300 and something or 400. However, the effort of the department is not to spoon feed our people, but to make complementary arrangements. This grant is supposed to be complementary to the production by communities, which MGA is going to talk to us about. Mm-hmm. So can I allow I'll come back to the members. All I want to do is to clarify if my facts are about what I think. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members and departmental officials. What I can explain is that last week we received an official letter from the department making a request that the minister is abroad due to work commitment, and the scheduled agenda that was put before the committee, the minister indicated that she would want to be part of that meeting. And secondly, she'll be back on the 16th today. Yeah, I think this week. And she made that request that she would want to be part of that meeting. I'll assume that with justice, because it was more of a policy directive. Secondly, the letter also indicated that the department will have a stakeholder engagement on the social security reforms as well as the institutionalization of grants. I think those were the agenda items that the committee wanted to the department to present. So I'll assume that because of that policy and stakeholder engagement, because of that, the department indicated that there will be that such engagement on the 16th, and Honorable Intendant. I'll assume that maybe they wanted to, when they briefed the committee, to have the input as well from the stakeholders that brief to give us a broad input. Thank you very much.
Can I acknowledge them?
Thank you, Chair. And thank you for addressing this matter before we start the meeting. And I just would like to confirm with the Chair that the writing of the letter was as a result of a meeting that took place on the 13th of October, where in the SASA CEO's remarks, there was an issue, there was a mention of the institutionalization of the grant payment system. And in those remarks, it just spoke about the work streams that are going to be working in phases, explaining how far those phases were. And in asking questions, when the question time was opened, the questions that we raised were the questions that are saying, where is the plan? How far is the department or is SASA in the takeover of the grant payment system? And also, we had already written on the 7th of June to ask for the plan at least, so that as we exercise oversight, we know how far this process is. Because we knew also that in the takeover process, there were 7 deliverables that had been submitted or that were given by the Concord. So we were saying we need to be able to know as the oversight committee how far this process is, because some of those deliverables were already due when that request was made. And we did not know how far SASA is with all the items. I believe 5 of the 7 items were already due at the time. And we didn't have any idea in terms of a presentation or a plan that was sent to us. And those were the catch questions that we asked. And the chairperson spoke there and responded and said, "Members, I would like to ask you to please wait, because here is a program that I would like us to approve after this meeting, where we are outlining the dates at which that presentation was going to happen." And that date was the 16th of November. And so, as a result, we did not get a detailed response to the question of the state of readiness of SASA in the takeover of the grant payment system. All we got was a highlight just to say, we assure the South Africans, we assure the committee that everything is on hand. We will not disappoint the 17 million people that stand to lose from if no work has been done on this. But we want the committee to know that everything is on hand here. After the meeting, the chair kindly came to us and said, "Honorable Masang, I was not bullying you there. I just want to assure you that on the 16th, everything is going to be discussed. There will be a fully fledged presentation." And I said, "And Chair, what about the plan?" He said, "You will get every single document that has to do with the institutionalization of the grant payment system." It was on the 10th of November when we got the notification of this meeting, where we saw that the item of the agenda has changed completely. And the explanation that is given by the Secretary now just did not say that the reason for this meeting changing, the agenda changing, is because the minister has had to go to the UN to attend to the meeting. It said that it was because the department would be meeting with the stakeholders. And we thought, how could then the stakeholders have the same time at the time that we're expecting this presentation that we have been waiting for since the 13th of October when we approved the agenda. So Chair, the program rather. So Chair, that is what actually triggered the writing of that letter to you, because we believe that we had waited from the 7th of June when I first wrote to the Chair to ask for this presentation to be made to the committee, to the 13th of October when we asked questions that were in the annual report that we're discussing on the day, and the questions were not answered because of the pending elected chair. And we share the I must say we share the concerns that you are having of saying that we need to know, although we don't want people to be spoon-fed, but we need to know that with the unemployment that is so high at the moment, and some families depending on this thing, we will have these people getting this grant. Thank you so much.
I'm sorry, I'm not targeting you, honorable member, in terms of saying how I wish honorable speakers wouldn't repeat this process, because we all understand. But I also must express my little bit of disappointment. I'm very honest. I always approach any member like a member of parliament. I even went to the members of the DA to specify that why I did not allow the debate. But now the letter says to me, I stifled or abroad. But no, I don't want that to be very important. What is important for me is that parliament has a program. And in that program, there are priorities like dealing with the, you know, honorable member, that we're not looking, but we're dealing with the annual report, and we were supposed to produce a report at a particular time. So this matter is an ongoing process, which would not be summarized because there's an annual report. It might take 3 or 4 years going forward because it's got legal implications, and it also talks to institutionalization and transformation. And that cannot be a cut and dry. So, honorable member, you are on the floor. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Shepherdson. I really don't want to get to the details of the letter and everything, but my problem is one, Shepherdson. We have adopted a program, which is a program of parliament. So, I really find it very disturbing that we postpone our meeting as a portfolio committee on the account of the department being absent. Because already the department, they know in their program that on this day, they are supposed to make a presentation. On that one, really, Shepherdson, for me, it's very wrong. It's very wrong, and it cannot be accepted. Moving forward, it cannot be accepted because we cannot hold our own responsibilities as this portfolio committee on the account of the minister being away, or the account of the department having been not concluded their process that they need to conclude. Thank you, Chair.
In that arrangement?
Thank you, Chair. I reiterate what my colleague said with regards to the postponing of this meeting. I also have a serious concern when I get the feeling I'm being lied to. When I get a message to say that the meeting has been postponed because they're meeting with stakeholders today, and I actually discover they're not meeting with stakeholders today. They're in a conference in Panama, which they must have known well in advance. They must have known well in advance. They knew they were due here today, so why were we not told at that meeting that there was a conference in Panama? They're not meeting with stakeholders today. They're going to meet you back on the 18th. That's number one that concerns me. And number two, we are dealing with a legal issue here. This was a constitutional court judgment. And we are entitled to know that those rulings on the constitutional judgment have been met. Because if they are not, we are in contempt of court. And somebody can be arrested. We don't want to see this department go that way, Chair, but that's what we're facing. Now, either someone comes and accounts to us, or we go to the court and find out if we are in contempt or not, and we take the next step. We're dealing with the lives of 17 million poor and vulnerable people here who need answers themselves. And the answer is simple. Are we ready or are we not? And if we are not, and we do not believe that the department is, what is Plan B? That's all we're asking for. Every single written question we have written on this since the 7th of June, not one have them have been answered. Not one. And then they cancel a presentation of this importance as well. Please have it on record that we are not angry. We are disgusted that Panama or New York comes ahead again of 17 million poor and vulnerable South Africans. I object to that. Thank you.
Chairperson, as the what of this committee?
No, IEC.
Yes, of the IEC. Listen, you call me on the facility, because I...
Can I...
Hello?
only like so I just stop.
Can I say please talk to me or via me? And also please, honorable member, my wife, can you speak into the mic? Please say yes.
But I expect to be respected. Like I respect her, she has to respect me. And I'm an honorable member, just like her. Because she should actually of the ANC honorable member. Because when I see in the corridor, I say honorable to her. So I don't expect she should address me in such a manner, or must I send as well to her. Thank you. When it comes to, I will agree with you, Chairperson, that this is a policy issue. And according to the information that I have, a lot of work has been done. I was told about which banks were going to do the payments, etc. And because the minister says that that's still going to cabinet, let us hear what cabinet has to say, because it is a policy issue. Because she has to reply to policy, not these administrators of Kenya. Thank you.
No sense. Okay, I understand the direction that the meeting is taking. But I think it is not fair and proper that some of my colleagues will pretend to us that they care more about the vulnerable 17 than us. I think they are trying to score cheap political mileage out of this. Look, this government, led by the ANC, but respect me when you talk and listen, I don't interrupt. I don't know why are you so agitated this morning. No, Chair, we understand the constitutional letter and we will not get into that. We just want to say the hysteria is misplaced. The scarecrow is misplaced. It's out of line. For the record, we, as the ruling party, the African National Congress, in terms of social security, since 1994 to date, we've delivered the poor from the doors of the wolf. So I don't expect my colleagues here to come and pretend as if they are the ones that care about that. We are on the record. We don't play politics around poverty, but we deliver. I think the way we understand, we would have expected under normal circumstances that the minister should have been here and deal with this matter, right and good. But for me, what you are explaining is plausible, it's acceptable. We can pull our hair, we can do everything we want. The minister is not here. So we must be pragmatic, we must be realistic, we must deal with the matter at hand. We are not in a position because of that. I'm not a spokesperson of the minister. I can also not account on her behalf. But the reality of the situation, the minister is not here. So we are not going to deal with that aspect. But I will say, as a member of this committee and as a member of the ruling party, we are consistent in terms of ensuring that social security, consistent with all our resolutions, finds expression. So I will repeat myself here to say no one can speak on authority here on social security other than us who are in government. But I understand here, I'm covered by both in terms of we have a program, the program is adopted, and everything must flow accordingly. That is how we must approach it. But to try to politicize the poverty of the people and preempt as if now we are not sure whether we will be able to deliver on our social mandate. It's going to be the case. We know that speculation in the media to say will SASSA be ready to take over or not. We are not yet at that stage, but Chair, I think I'm covered by yourself in terms of how we invest in, but it will also not be fair. There are programs. We should not cast aspersions on those who are unable to attend because of other circumstances. But we say this is a matter of priority. This is an urgent matter. But I expect we approach it from a mature point of view, from a sober point of view, and be objective in dealing with the current situation, and not to try to score political points. We have the moral authority to speak thoroughly on this matter because our program is our policy since 1994. It cannot be hijacked.
And I interest Honourable Member to give me an opportunity to respond on what has already been said. I'm sure you will be going for the second time if I have that opportunity because that's really not in our agenda. I understand how procedural matters have gone, and including the issue that their reason not to come was about stakeholders. But honestly, even yesterday I spoke to Ingrid, and Ingrid was saying, Minister, if things go well, we'll arrive today. And I was saying to her, let them seek a time where we can fast track the meeting that she's supposed to lead. Because indeed, honorable members, there was a cabinet meeting where this institutionalization, because one thing we should take into consideration is the fact that after the neglect and the discussion on the issues of minimum wage, which were actually being led by the minister, the issue of institutionalization and actually, because there is not really policy on how food is being distributed. This has to be done. All these matters are taken to the cabinet. The minister knows the instruction from her colleagues in the cabinet that she will have to stay with this meeting when she arrives. But I also would be very happy, Honorable Wilson, if as a shadow minister, as you wrote to me, you actually believe that going to New York and influence the world and also be influenced by the world on common issues as a country, we are not an island. You see that as a waste of time where the minister neglects, you said, he neglects the 17 million people in order to go to New York. You did not only say this in this house, you were also saying it in the house on your debate, that as you speak, the minister is in New York, as if it's a bad thing for the minister to be there. I also said when I was introducing this topic, I was comforted by the last sentence saying, I must find a way that this matter comes before the portfolio committee. And I was ready to say, once we have been able to share your views in this meeting, we will then decide this matter as a priority as to how we're going to fast track it when the minister is back. And I think the minister is mature enough to also know this is urgent. But I must add a cherry on top of this. I have been in some of these interviews this morning by various radio stations, that SASSA is in crisis, there's a disaster coming, and all those things that I had to respond to. But I still stand firm to the fact that there was no deliberate, I want to make it an emphasis, of a department running away. And a department, if there was
wrong communication, we will accept wrong communication. If it says it is because they are going, because if you received that, that would be tantamount to your concern. But I also am a human being. If you are hurt, Honorable Masan, it would help me to clarify issues with me and say, why is it like this when it was supposed to like this? But I don't think it is also necessary to write a very detailed letter saying, one, we can't speak because, and so on, because we will still meet and explain why we are not meeting. And I will only, if I'm tempted to allow Honorable Tonetti, and I will, I would wish that, I'm saying in my language, talking gives birth to other talking. So I would like to reopen this matter with all due respect, because the principle is that if a meeting is postponed, there must be an explanation, which we are going to work with the department and ensure that the debate is available. And I do know other committees take sacrifices on sitting on weekends and also on sitting on Friday, which means then, given an arrangement with the minister on Monday when it's a constituency day, those are the matters that we will talk to as to when do we get a date. The issue here is all the matters that relate with this matter, all the disaster that is anticipated, all the neglect of our communities will be actually dealt on that meeting, and a judgment will be coming. We are prejudging now, which we say is because they want to neglect. Let's wait for the opportune so that we can do that. Can I please close you up for this moment? With all due respect.
First of all, please understand, I did not say that the trip to New York was not important, Chair, that her work overseas is not important. We know she spends 2 months a year in New York. And we know that the relations with the rest of the world are important. This is a critical South African issue, and we've asked for it to take precedence because it's concerning. The other thing that concerns me, Chair, is that the whip said she even knew which banks were going to be doing this. Can somebody please tell me how the whip, the ANC whip, has information on this when it has not been brought to the portfolio? I'm sorry, that disturbs me.
Okay, thank you very much. If you are able to be disturbed, you must ensure that you don't disturb. Come on, I'll give you an opportunity.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to perhaps propose a way forward. You already captured what I wanted to say. To say that now that there is a serious matter, that all of us would really want to see it to rest before the end of this term. We're going home on the 8th of November. Can we then sacrifice one Friday? Saturday it won't be feasible, Chairperson. I look at the Lusana Gondustaba in December. So can we sacrifice one Friday where we say we are going to be here and have a presentation? Also, Chairperson, I think what I want to stress is what Honorable Madilo has said. Comprehensive social security system. It's not a project, it's a program. And those who know a program you do it over a period of time. When we introduced this as an ANC, we never said that we are going to finish with it, because we knew the debt of all South Africans that it has to cover. That's why I always tell people that comprehensive social security system is part of a better life for all, and a better life for all South Africans, 52 million to 54 million South Africans, is going to be a long process, taking the history where we are coming from. So to say that we would want everything to happen 1, 2, 3, is impossible. But as we promised the South Africans, we are going to deliver that. That one I'm sure about it. Can we say, Chairperson, when we have on that day, let the department brief us as far as they have gone. Because they said to us, if I remember very well, Chairperson, they want to implement it by May next year, if I remember very well. And when you say your implementation, you are anticipating to implement something by May next year, really, it's impossible that you say now, I would have given you all the details. Because you still have to test that. This is a new thing that the department will be doing for the first time. It's bound to come with mistakes because we will have to test it whether by that time is it going to be are you going to be of fine to implement it? So can they just give us the information as far as they have gone? The rest of other things are going to follow because May or April next year, it's still 3 to 4 months from now. And I believe that there's a lot of work that has been done. Unfortunately, Chairperson, we live in a country where things are being lived out to media. So Honourable Hope, the same as me, there are those leaks and whatever that is happening in the department. You hear that they've done this, they've done that, they've done that. And we live in a country where media is able to get everything. So it shouldn't come as a surprise when Honourable Hope Malkasi is saying the banks and everything, because you'll find that somebody else has got more information than what Honourable Hope has said, because we live in a country where we believe in media. Media is setting an agenda for us. But for this committee, really, for this institutionalization of the grant, let's not let them dictate what is going to happen, the media. Let's wait for the department. Let them give whatever that is on the table currently, Chairperson. Whether it's on phase one or on phase two, but as far as I remember, this is not a project. It's a program to take out South Africans from the poverty that they are living in. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Even if they have done wrong things, it's for those wrong things to be presented. So we know that they are wrong. But I do also want to say, I'm worried when we're going to say to honorable members, they are ANC weak. It doesn't sound proper for me to say a whip of a committee. In my understanding, ANC is the ruling party. It's bringing a whip because we are ruling this portfolio committee. And we cannot be sure. But we want to be mature enough to respect political parties and to give them what belongs to them and what they deserve. I can acknowledge you. Let me just finish. But I also want to learn from Honorable Daga yesterday when we were talking, debating about the Constitution and how the role of Parliament, because this is the extension of Parliament, where he said, unfortunately, ministers respond in the manner they are being asked the questions. Because it's not honest to come and fight on a manner, on a matter that we don't know is wrong. We can't fight because the procedure has been wrong. And we can really, really spend energy fighting because you got it wrong. We are not machines. And we are not staying in one place. Others stay in Pretoria, we stay here and elsewhere. Others are in Europe, but we are a collective. So I do want to warn members, because in this committee, we suppress a lot of us talking in our political views and wanting to go back why we are poor. Because when we discuss as if everything has always been normal, because we want everybody to be comfortable. The minute we believe that we are here because of ABC and talk those deep politics here, there's going to be no harmony. And I would like to share over that. These people must watch what they say, how it affects others, before they can think it about themselves. Mama Fandesnese?
No, I think we need to move on. I think it's important that we get going with this next presentation. It's also unfortunate that we had to fight like this in front of our guests. But I think the proposal made in terms of a Friday meeting, I would like to support that. And Chairperson, just in terms of procedure and in terms of the rules of Parliament, the Honourable Wilson is correct. There's no such thing as a whip of a committee. Respectfully, Honourable Malkas is the whip, ANC whip. She is duly appointed as an ANC whip and a whip of the ruling party, which we respect. But there is no such thing as a whip of a committee in terms of the rules of parliament. I am, for example, an IFP whip, which means I'm appointed by the speaker to work in my party as a whip, but there's no such thing as a whip of a committee. But I agree we must respect one another, we must respect the fact that the ruling party is the ruling party, but Honourable Malkas is the whip of the ANC members of this committee, just for that clarity.
I also would warn members that immediately we go to technical interpretation, we will go a very long way. There is the beginning of dividing this committee according to political parties. But my stance is that we are deployed here to a portfolio committee and a chair, an ANC chair, if you want to say so. If she is an ANC whip in this meeting, I am an ANC chair. And therefore, it distorts how we are supposed to be politically mature, to respect each other. There's no real need for anyone. I can't continue saying, Honorable Father Melbourne, IFP member, when I refer you in this meeting. It's unbecoming. So let's not deal with that.
I don't think in my introduction I said that that was the case. In fact, I said we must all respect one another, and I do think we respect the Honorable Malkas, the seniority. I wasn't trying to divide caucus. I don't think you're an ANC chair. I was merely pointing out the rules in the rule book. I was not trying to say that we shouldn't respect one another or one seniority or
that has been taken, but I do think it was in support of the fact that we can't be calling ourselves according whether we are this and that when we have a common agenda.
I don't want to belabor this matter. We are serving in this portfolio committee almost for 2 years, since 2014 election. This matter never arose. It's only arising now. So it's negativism that will not take us anywhere. It's just that I'm just disappointed that after 2 years, Congress can come and bring this matter up. The reality of the situation, whether we like it or not, you are the chair of the portfolio committee. You are from the ANC. I'm a member of this committee. I'm from the ANC. Honorable Malkas is the whip of this portfolio committee. She's from the ANC. Why make it now? I understand, but I'm talking about how we should not, I mean, deliver this issue. No, she can go. There's no madam in this thing. The madam in the party, not yet. She's a honorary member. So this superiority complex is not going to take us. And we will not accept, we will not be blackmailed. Some of us will not be intimidated and blackmailed by members of this, I mean, of the opposition. We have been respecting one another. I don't know why things are getting now out of hand.
Can I suggest you, my honourable member, with due respect, please, but I will also be keen when you finish what you wanted to say, so that I understand you. I'm not shutting you out, but I think also we do have a duty to deal with the matter in front. But I wanted, it went the other way, when I intended to hear everybody, so that they know that we understand their concerns and then go unanimously in a good spirit into a new program. I wanted to give a background as to why I will have this item and not the previously expected item. Thank you very much. This is a political institution, and at times we are not water. We have to do as we do. And for me, this is a very healthy discussion and a healthy debate. If we don't do this, we would never be politicians. There's a difference in how we handle things matters as politicians. So please bear with us. We are now coming to you. So today, we want to be in a position to listen
Mugabe, who has apologized, is going to come once registration has been done. And we already know that we are discussing this matter because the minister is in New York. The minister will come. But for now, we have had a situation where the committee has actually asked questions. How is MDA reaching the ground? How are they intending to devolve to the city at the grassroots level? So there was a process they would follow, including some sort of restructuring. That time has come for us as this portfolio committee on social development, which has this branch, which is an agency that is going to present how they have complied with that and how they have responded. And they are going to put down this information to us, and then we'll interact with it. So now that we start with the introduction, I wasn't here when we were here last time, and then yes, some other time, I think the meeting was checked by the meeting. So now I would expect that they give us who they are, information about the church, and then the after that they go directly to the presentation. As we are, we have an authority to report. Okay.
Thank you very much. I have a few apologies. One from the minister. He's still abroad. Another one is from the deputy minister. She's on the taking parliament to the people in Buffalo City. As we have our standing apologies from Honorable Tekok and Honorable Mokhosi. There was also another apology from the acting DG, Dr. Makasega. He will join the committee later today. She is attending a meeting on Social Protection Committee and Human Development Cluster. So she will join us at a later stage. I apologize for that. Thank you.
I think this particular apology of the new DG is because the social development chairs that cluster of social protection, and therefore she has to chair that meeting on various departments as a cluster in line with what the direction of social development is taking. So we are done with that. Can I, not unless there's a hand, I can allow now
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. I would like to, by way of introduction, firstly say that even in the board of the NDA we have a very vibrant debate and discussion where sometimes it gets heated, so I don't think Honourable Members should in any way feel... And by the way, we also have TV nowadays and watch some of the National House debates and so on. So I think we're very confident and comfortable here. However, I must say that for the person I'm about to introduce, I'm sure it's been quite intimidating because when you see the members vibrantly debating various issues, I'm sure she must be feeling quite nervous in her first presentation to the Honourable Members. So I hope that she will survive this moment without too many bruises as she enters into this new job. My name is Abraham Hanakom. I'm a member of the board. I'm here because unfortunately the chair and the deputy chair of the board couldn't make it. I'm the secretary of management committee and I'm the chair of the stakeholders and resources management committee, a new committee set up within the board. The reason I managed to come was also one of trying to save resources. I live in the Western Cape, so I didn't need to fly, and it was more easy for me to come through. So the chair of the board mandated me to come through, and do the introduction and be here on behalf of the board. Chairperson, the board went through a process of interviews and went through quite an elaborate process to get to our recommendation for the CEO. We took into consideration qualifications, experience. We took into consideration inputs around how the various applicants wanted to see the National Development Agency move forward. We also felt strongly that the development agency needed somebody who had quite a strong link to communities and grassroots structures. The board unanimously, after several interviews and considering various CVs that were submitted, made a recommendation to the minister to appoint Thamo Mzombe, who is the new new CEO of the National Development Agency. Thamo has some history in the National Development Agency, and we're hoping that she will be an active CEO. We feel that she will come with new energy, and that where necessary, she will even crack the whip to move things forward. So it's my honor to introduce Mrs. Mzombe to give the presentation from the National Development Agency on our business case. Many thanks.
Chairperson and honorable members. I am Solomon Chingande from the National Development Agency in the position of acting Chief Financial Officer. Thank you.
Good morning, honorable chairperson and members, honorable members, CEO. My name is Anthony Fowler. I'm the acting CEO for the National Development Agency.
Good morning, Chairperson and honorable member. I'm not from the NDA. I am the DDG responsible for community development, which oversee the implementation of one of our strategy, which is implemented by the NDA itself.
Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. I'm also not from the NDA. My name is Osborne Masilela, and for my teams, I'm the Chief Director of Intergovernmental Relations and Executive Support.
All spaces, I'm told. Okay. Can we then go straight? Are you having it up or end out?
Honorable Chairperson, I have a presentation on the screen, and also we had some copies that we sent in text. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, honorable members, for affording us as NDA the opportunity to present the proposed repositioning, the proposed business model, the proposed re-engineering of the services that we've been delivering to our communities. And I think for me, it's at the right time where the input of the portfolio committee is so critical, because it's a proposed model subject to inputs that can strengthen it,
to respond to the variety needs of the community that are on the ground. It's not an end product, so to speak, but with this opportunity, I'm really humbled because I know I'll be getting, as an organization, we're getting input that will strengthen our business case to respond effectively and efficiently. In this presentation, we would want to go through an MDA mandate. In our MDA mandate, we are mindful of the primary mandate and the secondary mandate that we have as an MDA to contribute towards eradication of poverty by granting funds to civil society organizations in the community. In our vision, is to help a society free from poverty through our mission where we contribute to the eradication and its causes, and our values is integrity, dignity, empowerment for accountability, responsibility, transparency, excellence, and partnering. And we want to do this for the purposes of making sure that we carry out programs and projects aimed at meeting development needs of the poor, and also to strengthen the institutional capacity of the civil society across the board, which directly offers services to our community. Our secondary mandate is to promote consultation, dialogue, and sharing development experience between civil society sector and relevant state organs of the state through debates to development policy, to undertake research for publication, aiming at proving basis for development of policies, acting as conduit for funding from government, foreign government, and other national and international donors for development that we carry out. I would want to emphasize a little bit on this one, to say acting as a conduit at the current status of the NDA's receipt. It's perceived as if it's only conduit for social development, but the act is saying, or the mandate says, we report to Parliament through Social Development Ministry, but we are responsible to be a conduit across the board of all government departments, foreign donors, international donors, including private sector. So this is the one part that we want to emphasize and escalate to a level where other government departments begin to partner with us and ensure that we go down to communities to deliver services on behalf of government. Our background, where we're coming from to have this pegged business case and strategy, was informed by a discussion between National Treasury which took place in 2012-2013 financial year, where National Treasury was kind of concerned in terms of our mandate, such as an NDA, vis-a-vis what services and programs that are offered by social development. And in that respect, they requested social development to conduct a review on NDA as an entity. Further to that, NDA took it upon their responsibility to say, let's do our own environmental scan, to say, let's quality check if we are still relevant with our mandate, if we are still delivering on our mandate, if we are still upholding our duties and powers in ensuring that we have our database of civil society, we have the remainers conduit of civil society for all government departments. So it is through that environment scan that we're able to introspect as an organization to see how far we've come. And further to that, 2013-2014 financial year, the Minister of Social Development introduced a program. At that time it was a project, Megonza, to go around the country to check on the footprints of the sector in terms of social development within entities, to check in the footprints in communities, what are the sense or what are the perceived ideas in terms of the service delivery that we deliver on the community. And the outcomes of the project confirmed that indeed NDA was non-visible, indeed NDA was unaccessible to the local communities. Based on the above three research, then it then developed a business case and strategy to reposition and to recognize itself so that it becomes relevant and it delivers on the required services by communities. And the proposed business case and strategy and implementation was populated to all stakeholders internally with an NDA, externally, the interim accounting officer, The honourable member and honourable chair will remember that there has been a gap where the NDA had no board at the time, and the interim accounting authority was the acting DG, Mr. Magwaza. He was apprised of the issues of our report, internet in repositioning. The executive authority, the head of social development, and national treasury, as the president of MINMEC, they were all apprised of the consultation of the strategy and the implementation plan that had been developed. Then the NDA strategy, the current strategy that is being implemented, was to test as a pilot to say if we want to shift this direction, how far we can come. But it's a work in progress, hence I was humbled to say, with this opportunity to come and present, it should allow us to get input from the honourable members of the committee. The problem statement was the position of the NDA, where the perception out of those three processes was to say we were not well positioned to deliver on our mandate as NDA. We're focusing on establishing a niche. The key stakeholders can see NDA is duplicating services. That is our problem statement where we're coming from. The institutional support or structure, it was not unable and efficiently, and it was not able to contribute to the legislative mandate to give services to local communities. And visibility and access was an issue, the lack of NDA visibility, which became a serious issue for the executive authority and the head of social development at large to say all these reports point to one issue, to say we are non-visible and we are non-accessible. The highlight of the new business case was to respond directly to the problem statement items that I've highlighted. We are proposing to shift and decentralize our services to all district municipalities. But we want to target first to the 27 prioritized, most deprived districts as per SFSA and as per cabinet approval, to say there were 27 districts that were highly identified as highly deprived in terms of service delivery. And then upskilling and preparation of staff. To date, we have tried to empower and prepare the staff for the full implementation of the full scale of the business case. 117 staff have been empowered. 90 were trained in facilitation and mentorship for civil society organizations. 27 of these are currently being trained on community based urban practice. I want to highlight to the members, honorable members, that the community development as a practice itself has been around, but to date we have not yet had a council to say this is a community development council, which is the current process which is being deliberated on at a policy level by the Department of Social Development to strengthen and enhance our policy on community development, so that even lobbying for resources, at least we have a council, we have a body that indeed is as a statute to represent the community development on the ground. Upgrading and realignment of systems and processes. The NDA is currently hard at work, putting together IT processes, making sure that we're getting ready, procurement of relevant equipment and resources for when we go full scale on the ground to implement. Readjustment of resources allocation to the agency. We as an agency have identified the funding approaches for the business case, including agreeing with our mother body or our big brother, BSD, on the function shift, which will at least ease the burden of the limited resources that we currently have. Packaging and deployment of relevant information. A model and package of services have been defined. The members would remember that NDA has been seen as being all over, it's there and there, but when you get to our package services, you wouldn't be able to pull out one document that will guide you on the package services that we offer. So in our repositioning, we've taken cognizance of that, and we've made a point that we package services so that when we interact, when we empower, and when we capacitate our organization, at least there are relevant models and tools and standards and norms that will guide them in their own function. This has been NDA since its inception. It's been national office, it's been NDA provincial office, Then 2014, 2015, there was an introduction of advisory office, which had some challenges and limitations. But at national, it was a strategy and planning and oversight and corporate reports, reporting to the state. It's governance, compliance issues, it's business support, finances, CMHR, facility management, and business health specialists. Everything at head office. And national and daily provincial offices, it's project planning, where projects are formulated, grant funding proposals are assessed and coordinated, capacity building is being planned in response to the autonomy and provincial priorities in terms of the civil society sector. Project and program implementation has been taking place at the provincial level, and reporting has been taking place on provincial level. But we've since saw a gap in terms of saying the national and the province, there are a situated in more in remote areas to be accessed by the emerging and developing community. Hence the proposal of the function of the new model. The advisory centers, they were mainly responsible for referrals and giving information regarding community development issues and working together with social development and SASA, and in some areas with Department of Health, was just to give information around NPO, mainly NPO sector, which is what we were getting as requests time and again, of which we now want to shift to package whatever cooperative, NPO, CBO, FBO, if it has to do with issues of governance and compliance, we want to be in that space. The limitations of the model that I've just presented was that programs were located in provincial offices, where people are not there, mainly in the city, where people at least have access of internet cafes and other access to emails and all that, whereas the depth of the crisis is in the rural areas which are far fetched, or we are far remote from the central towns where our provincial offices are located. The skilled personnel for programs and projects were located in provinces. So that would have meant if you are in city center of the metro and you want to reach a person in George, you wouldn't be able to deliver and assist that person unless that person went made some means to make sure that they come to the city center to get assistance and support. The high cost of running business was due to long distances, which was felt both by our client, which we serviced, and ourselves in terms of your accommodation, your transport, your S&T. By the time you get to the ground, the resources are depleted already, having not yet started to empower civil society, which is our target group. As licensed centers were only providing limited functions, as I've highlighted, on information and just referrals. The new proposed repositioning model is we still have nationals, but it's a very reduced number of personnel vis-a-vis what we used to have. Like if I can cite an easy example, where previously we used to have like 8 executives at a national level, but we have scaled down to 4 to make sure that the actual capacity we take down to the district level where the communities are. The national provincial level, their functions are still the same, except to say they've been added responsibility and functions in terms of managing and supervising and operations that will be taking place down in district offices, and also to provide the technical support and special support and make sure that there is proper program monitoring and reporting. Our history has reflected to us that it is due to poor monitoring and poor reporting that has led us in most of our projects to fail and not to sustain themselves beyond our intervention. So in our district level, which is what we're introducing, we'll have community engagement and networking, we'll have profiling and audit of CSOs in the district, as the mandate compels us to do that, to say we need to have a national database of civil societies in the country, just as well as social development has the national database on the non-profit organizations. That's what we're pushing to do with this proposed model. Identify and develop poverty eradication interventions for communities. Identify appropriate levels of civil society capacity interventions. Placement of civil society to appropriate level of interventions. Monitoring and support, project planning,
working liaise with them. The interface will be on daily basis. The interface will be efficient. The turnaround time on resolving issues and challenges, the turnaround time on referrals and all that will be half such that social development, SASA, all these other government departments, at a desktop level, we have information that will assist the immediate civil society that walks in to our district office. Benefits of the new model is to integrate NDA interventions with other social development sector programs. What we've experienced lately with the introduction of the cooperative radically so. We find that at the national office, we'll get a call from Umtata. We are a group of women who are doing sewing. We know that there is this link to social economic opportunities driven by the department. How do we go about? So if we had a district office right there, the runaround of that in court collecting that information for that particular group of women will be done by our own personnel at the district level. Because we find that in our town, CEDA does not have capacity. They are not on the ground. So if we consolidate all those responsibilities that should be coordinated by NDA on behalf of other government departments, that's exactly what our district officials will be doing. To say, I'm able to say, now that you are there, I'm coming to you, I'm meeting with you, I'm taking you through, assisting you to fill in the forms, making sure that I submit the forms on your behalf, then I come to you empowered to begin to develop yourself and to deliver services that you want to deliver up until we link you to economic opportunities for your sustainability. Because even our grant intervention has to be such that it's to kickstart you to actualize what you've been trained on and then facilitate further by linking you to other sustainable programs across government departments, not only in social development. Increase access to NDA integrated programs and visibility. Improve operational efficiency, thus reducing running costs, promoting the use of local resources and accelerating local economic empowerment and development. I want to touch further on this one by saying we've been capacitating our communities for the sake of capacitating them, but we've been having a shortfall in making sure that they're sustainable. In capacitating them now in terms of compliance and all this, we want them to get to the mainstream of being linked to economic opportunities, rightfully so, complying with all the legislations that are there, with us on the ground holding their hands until they are sustainable. Improve partnership with the civil society sector, thus strengthening their service delivery program. The interface that has been taking on and carrying on has been such that the relationship is just us and them wanting our money because the government has to give us money to do service delivery. But when you look at the interface in terms of public hearings, NDA should be there, right, for in fact, facilitating this sort of civil society organization to prepare them to contribute to such forums. We have NDA, we've been having NDP. How far has our civil society participated in such forums? We have our budget votes where this civil society gets to be invited. But from there, nobody follows up if they can relate their service delivery vis-a-vis what is really available as a resource in the government sector. So that relationship will encourage the dialogue that we're supposed to be doing as a mandate to ensure that the civil society pitches to a level of contributing as active citizenry of the country and not just passive recipients of handouts from the government. The planned district office structure and links with the sector offices is as such that we have, in our going around looking for relevant sites, we wanted to make sure that we are not far from the DSD district offices, we are not far from SASA offices, we are not far from Tucson Center. Why are we saying that? We have seen that when you go to a district office, social development, purely the information and the service that you're going to get in there is just for social development. When you want to check on economic development is not in the precedent. It's NDA that is supposed to make sure that information is available for the civil society to pursue what is delivered on by economic development. So we've identified areas. The identification of areas has not been in any preference. It will be dependent upon our negotiations in terms of rental, in terms of accessibility, and in terms of affordability in sharing rates with the specific office. So So those are areas that we have identified so far, and this is how we are going to resource these offices once they are up and running. But in the interim, where we have not yet found the spaces in various offices, because for now, if I can be honest and confident to take the honourable members in confidence, is to say we are struggling to strike deals or to strike reasonable rentals in these offices. Each time you approach social development, they will tell you that they have backlog of social workers. They still need space to accommodate social workers. So that's a priority mandate for them. So when you approach SASSA, it's the same thing. So we go further to municipalities to negotiate, but what we have found is that the rates in which they want us to negotiate really comes at a high cost than what we can afford currently. But we're exploring further issues of saying there are civil societies that are in the space, like your provincial CNDC, Community Nutrition and Development Centers, that are funded by social development, that are having this space already, and we are in the space of saying let's partner with them, because we are servicing them as well as civil society. So we can partner if they offer us a space to work with, and it will allow us to interface with those communities that they serve. So as they come to benefit on the food nutrition program that is supplied by their peers, CNDC will be on the space to empower them to produce their own so that they become sustainable and independent. Those are just examples. Eastern Cape, the other one was Limpopo, if I'm not mistaken. And then our programs, we have three strategic programs that we have highlighted in this shift. It's governance and administration to ensure that we promote and maintain organizational excellence and sustainability through effective and efficient administration that includes performance, employee well-being, cost containment, and brand recognition. And this will be achieved if we have sound governance and administration environment. And program two is where we are focusing on the civil society organization development to provide a comprehensive package that aims to develop civil society organizations to their full potential so that they provide quality services to their communities. And we focus on the CSOs mobilization, formalization, capacity building, resource mobilization, and sustainability. And the third program is a research and development. We want to undertake and continue to undertake action research. As we have just launched a book on civil society through this action research. So we want to continue with that action research and impact evaluation studies that will be used to inform program planning and implementation of, and management of NDA civil society development programs. We want to say in our evaluative studies, most of the time we enter into a space and we are quick to want to achieve our APP targets. And there's a gap that is always left behind to say what has been the impact since we have started with this intervention. So we want to elevate it as a research and development program to maintain that we keep ourselves in check if we do indeed follow up on such. And the implementation of the business plan, after consultation with all the stakeholders, we agreed that there will be five streams who will be driving and responsible for each stream to ensure that there is smooth transition and progression. We have organizational restructuring and alignment, IT enhancement and optimization, physical infrastructure, service reengineering, financial sustainability. These teams are a mixture of the province, the national offices, the senior officials who are skilled in the specific areas that we've identified. The organizational stream was to ensure that NDA develops an operation model and structure that requires us to move from being a national to go down to district. It was also to facilitate the matching and placing of staff at all levels. As we might know that with any change that comes through an organization, there's a fear of uncertainty, the fear of losing jobs and all that. So this team mainly was looking into well-being and the smooth transitioning of from the shift from the current status to what we want to see going forward. So all the employees, all the staff, we put at ease by the fact that there will be a skills audit. You'll be matched according to your capacity and your potential, where your skills gaps will empower you, and will place you where your potential and capacity will make sure that you perform effectively and efficiently. change management strategy and plan is being implemented. It's an ongoing consultation process. Time and again, when you introduce such changes, you need to work. It's not a project to say you start and end here. Until it's in a full scale, we'll continue to manage our strategy on change management. Job profiles of new positions were completed and assessed. A proud post were advertised and the selection is underway currently. The prioritized position of the sales by December 2016, if all goes well, at least to three districts that at least we have found our SLA agreement to be convenient for us to begin. The national structure as proposed is like this. We have our shareholder, at the SD, we have the board, we have the CEO, then in the CEO's office we have company secretary, we have chief auditor, and we have a CEO and senior manager. Then down the level we have four executives, like I've highlighted earlier, to say we're coming from eight executives down to four executives, and we have dedicated and senior managers who are specialists in their field, research, cost, civil society organization development, and capacity building for civil society, as well as program management, provincial office management, and monitoring and evaluation that will be housed under the office of the chief of operations officer. Then we have supply chain, and we have a senior manager to finance. Then we have legal, we have information technology, which is IT, human resource, communication, as well as stakeholder management. The provincial structure, it was smaller than this before. It was just a provincial manager, the provincial admin, with three or four people reporting to the manager. But now we have had to introduce M&E reporting. As I've highlighted earlier, the gap that we've seen, we're not making progress because we don't go back and take stock of our achievements and the sustainability of such achievements. Specialists on CSO development, specialist on CSO capacity building, specialist on ECD, manager administration. Then we have officers, then we have admin. That is provincial, which is administration, which mainly is there to support and give guidance to the district officers. The district office, we have a district manager reporting to provincial manager. We have development coordinator with two development officers, and we have a district administrator with an administrator for finance and SPM, an administrative officer for HR and management, receptionist, cleaner, and security officer to make sure that the office runs. The IT is responsible to make sure that the infrastructure configuration systems that are required with the proposed change are in line with the policies of the IT. Terms of reference and NDAX strategy and plan has been developed and they're in place. They've been advertised in tender bulletin to source provider to do the whole configuration and to implement the strategy fully. The team also develops the new IT policy to guide the new version of a business model. Physical infrastructure, we negotiate the space in 9 sites that will be identified. We engage with our partners, the municipality, and then we negotiate to the level of paying nominal rent or the rates that are available, which are reasonable for the small entity like NDA. Then these are the prioritized the district for the decentralization. The priorities, as I highlighted earlier, is pay the availability of the space when we were negotiating on the ground. We were getting in with various market stakeholders to get office spaces, but where we have seen light in terms of them being positive in accepting us as partners, is such that it's Kritani, Lukanji Municipality, Queenstown. And in these areas that we've identified, it's where most of our services has never seen light at NDA. So we said we wanted to prioritize such. Because in our engagement with stakeholders, especially municipalities, they were able to even come to us to say, but you've been there, you have footprints in this and that and that. We were able to be well receiving of their proposals to say, maybe in our IDP we can interface with your initiatives to say, let's go into the space as partners together. So Free State is Harib, Kopanong municipality, and that space has been found. We're still negotiating and finalizing the lease. Gauteng province, West Rand, Randfontein, space has been found. KZN, King Tutuayo, and in some of these which we have said we have found, somehow they come, we negotiate and we finish. Once we start with paperwork of wanting to facilitate the signing, then they will tell us and to say, no, but when we consider around that area, we know that the rate is at this level and all that. And so it takes us back when you have made progress of 3 steps, when you renegotiate to finalize the FLA, they'll bring new issues to say, but we didn't consider water, we didn't consider electricity and stuff like that. Then it takes us back 7 steps to say, let's go back to the renegotiation table, which is kind of like starting a process of finalizing everything. Limpopo, in this one, it was a dilapidated structure which was part of social development. They have offered the space. The process of renovating the space has started, and the process of finalizing the MOA, because we thought when we get into MOU, social development will come up and say, but social workers are more priority in this area than you as NDA, so we need our office space. So we make sure that the little resource that we invested in renovation, we kept it as an agreement so that at least we're up and running and we can accommodate them as partners, not to take over and chase us out of the office. The MP in Mpumalanga, Ehlandleni, we're in the process of procuring the space. We have not succeeded in Mpumalanga, Northwest, Northern Cape and Western Cape. We're still negotiating. It's an issue of affordability on the part of NDA. Service engineering, we have packaged our models, the framework, the standards, the procedures and tools. The team has facilitated the staff training on the new model. Frameworks for CSO mobilization are now ready. And we, in developing this framework, we made sure that we simplify them as much as possible, because the gist of the non-compliance on the sector is the documentation that we produce, which are highly technical for them to understand and to interpret and to comply with. So we tried to develop as simple guidelines as possible with more illustrations for them to be guided on what they're supposed to be delivering on. Staff orientation and training has commenced and is completed during the end of November. This is our conceptual model in summary. The red, where civil society is, it's where we go in with NICONS, or it's where out of program we interface with the community at large, whether in the form of the civil society or just as an outreach. We engage with them, we move a step up, we assess what are they about, then we consult and dialogue to guide to where they're supposed to be. Because some they want to say, I want to be a cooperative, but you find that when you assess this person is purely NPO, can only deliver welfare services and the passions around them. So it's our role to guide them and advise them in making sure that when we dialogue, we agree to say, now we are moving you a step further to the classification and the interventions that you're supposed to receive from us. And in doing that, we find ourselves having to have like 4 or 5 things where we have to go into the formalization process, the registration process and the compliance, where we have to do capacity. There is pre-capacity building, there is post-capacity building, there is ongoing mentoring and incubation in the process. Then we have financial and non-financial resources in terms of how best we can assist them to mobilize their own resources. And then sustainability, linkages, resources. I spoke about the reference of the cooperative to say, we as Department of Social Development, we have a market of the overseas that the government always buys uniforms for. For it is through this level that we're able to link them to those opportunities. In small work that we have in our offices, there are cooperatives that produce detergents. So we link them to relevant offices to produce, to supply those offices, but having complied with all the requirements by National Treasury and all legislations that are there. And then at the end of the day, we want to see that yellow to say there are development, and the honorable members should remember that development doesn't end. It goes and it grows. Hence, even today as we are presenting, we'll be growing out of the contributions of the honorable members to beef up our business case. Financial sustainability, this team explores the funding models that can assist our business case to stand the test of time.
and we engage with relevant structures to fund the NGA through partners, as our mandate had allowed us long time ago to go around and source funding, which is not what we've been fully embarking on as NGA. This is what we have done now to say, let's go out there, let's present our case as an NGA to make sure that we get funding. The funding proposal related to function shift was presented to social development management. The proposal for this shift is through the NPO capacity bill. We know there's NPO registration, there's NPO compliance, and there's a wing, small wing at social development that is doing institutional capacity building. So it is that shift through the guidance and advice of National Treasury that we have agreed with social development to have the function shift back to NDA. National Treasury was consulted on the function shift, and they are guiding the processes of how to go about establishing the entire process of shift. What is required for the shift is the financial and fiscal commission to make sure that we comply with the seven basic principles of the shift. We have to ensure that the central authority has subsidiary function, performing only the task and cannot be performed at any local level in the main sector to consider, which is the institutional capacity building of the civil society organization. That the shift respects and promotes and fulfills the provision of the constitution that apply to delegations and assignments. So in whatever we are doing, it has to be in line with the provision of the constitution. That the shift in with the general framework of an establishment government policy. So we have to make sure that we are in line with government of the policy as we move to the process of shifting the function of the institutional capacity building from social development to NDA. That the decision of the shift is based on appropriate republic as a whole, rather than on what is appropriate for a particular sphere of government or organization. So the interest here is civil society organization of the Republic of South Africa. So the shift will benefit not just a province, not just a municipality, but it just will provide provision for the entire sector in the Republic of South Africa. That the requesting organ, which is NDA in this case, have the buy-in of delegating organs of state. So we've had that buy-in through all the proper forums that we've engaged in with the social development. That an agreement has been reached between parties by consensus and not forced on either party. That have been negotiated and agreed upon between the social development, which in this case is driven by Mr. Chepale himself, and in our case it's driven by myself and my team. So we have agreed the authority role must be transferred in full. The shift must not create a split between the spheres of government. In the process of navigating through this shift, we must make sure that we comply with all these basic principles according to National Treasury. Process to be followed. We have done some of these processes. The NCA, the steps that we needed to do to initiate the shift, and I need to remind the honorable members that the shift is based on the premise of having NDA resources beyond just the allocation that we receive from National Treasury. The NDA proposal was supported by heads of social development sector on the 25th of October. The proposal was approved by the MENMEC on the 3rd of November. The minister now needs to appoint the project team to lead the team of the shift. Then the team will start in the process of engaging National Treasury, and we have a support on this regard of the social development CFO, because they've been exposed to such a process when we are shifting a function from disability ministry to the social development. So we are tapping on their expertise on the process that we'll be embarking on. And then the team will develop a project plan, function shift aligned to National Treasury budget cycles. And we are hopeful that since we've missed the cycle of September, where we're supposed to have at least finalized for the shift, it will assist us as per the commitment of the CFO to say by this time next year, the entire shifting process will have been completed. The Minister of Finance through Mincombat to recommend Cabinet for approval. Then this is just the summary of the budget where we are currently. Program 1, which is administration and government, 2718, it's
131 million. The year two is 140 million. The year three is as such 149. So even the increment, I know my CFO would want to go to town with this summary, but I'm just giving a highlight of what things are. We are not growing as much as the inflation is growing in terms of what we receive from national treasury. So program three, CSO capacity building, that's what we get, 61 million, 65 and 69. In program three, CSO capacity building, it's not much considering the sector, how big the sector is, how illiterate the sector is, how non-compliant the sector is. So this is saying to us, if we have to invest and get a proper return for investment, we have to beef up on our resources in that part, so that we have active citizens that are no longer relied on grant to run their business. Yes.
If I may
interrupt,
I think
right parent,
It will be this best one in where we went on an Ezimalizo. That one of agriculture. The 10th one. Yeah, there was NDA. But NDA does not seem to be, it's just somebody who can say, bring me bricks and build in here. And after that, they are not seen as having played a serious impact in ensuring that project is available. I've seen many. I'm taking this because if Christiane in Dukanji says they've never seen this program before, I do know the SOGAM program. That was one thing. So they are not speaking the truth in order to be polite. But now I was just saying we look forward to engaging on this, and I'm opening the floor for members to participate in this great presentation. I hope we are going forward. The Honorable Mabilo, Honorable Masango, and Mama Bev. Did I see your hand, Mama Jadi? No, it's not yet. Thank you. You can go on.
No,
that I didn't notice.
No, thanks, Honorable Chairperson. Welcome, Steve. Thanks for the presentation. We accept and clarify that. First, just two comments and then two questions. The first comment, you know that your command has now been defined, clarified. We appreciate that. We will interface with the National Treasury. Secondly, we note your 5-year plan, 2016 to 2021, and then you have reduced your program by one, from 5 to 4. Fine. Now I've got just two questions there. The first question, through the chair, is that in terms of your proposal that you have made to the department, you want to shift or delegate the NPO capacity building to the NDA, National Development Agency. Now my question is this. If this request is approved, what will happen to the staff that was employed by DFD in this section? Two, related to that, will the NDA employ? That's the first clarification question. Well, in terms of your court, the second one is your court analysis that you have conducted on the top current funding baseline. What were their results? What were your findings? Last week I said three. I must give my colleagues chance to post. What were the expected challenges when you implemented your new strategy? Were there challenges when you implemented your new strategy? If yes, can you indicate some of the major challenges that will impact on your you on your redefined mandate? Thanks, Honorable Chairperson, for the opportunity.
Are you satisfied with the progress made? That comment, and is it going the direction you as a member of parliament has been looking forward to?
I respond in the affirmative.
Thank you, Chair. I also would like to thank the new CEO and congratulate her on her appointment. And thank you for the presentation. I just want to mention that for me it has been very encouraging to hear that the research that was commissioned came up with the recommendations that are based on what the committee has also been mentioning in terms of certification, in terms of all these issues that we have been that have been mentioned in the past. And also the second thing that I want to comment on is that the NDA is also having the Financial and Fiscal Commission, because the last meeting that we had with the Financial and Fiscal Commission did mention issues relating to the NDA, so it's really that one is seeing a link between what we have highlighted and what is going on at the moment. And the question that I want to ask is the strategic stream that are doing all the work that, that you've been highlighting. I see that in each of them it says they did this and they did this. Have they got a lifespan, a timeline that they are working towards? And then we will, is there a time when we will hear that the strategic life, strategic streams are no longer, because now what they have been doing has been sort of mainstreamed into the work of the agency and the work is going on? And then also, the other question has to do with the... Okay, no, thanks, Chief. I think I'm covered. Thank you.
If I'm coming to you, Mama Abraham, if Honorable Panel member, you had indicated that you will leave at some stage, if you want to make any good, you can make it before you go. Honorable, I'm not ignoring Honorable Mama Bench.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you to the CEO, not you anymore. Congratulations, and I'm sure success in your venture. Thanks, Chairperson. Yes, mine is regarding the facilitation and mentorship program. Who will be the mentees? Because we always hear people talking about mentorships, but you never find the mentee. And the mentorship sometimes end up being a word and not actually being materialized. So mentorship can be very good if it is done, but if not, then it's a disaster. You also mentioned the monitoring and evaluation that would interlink with your mentorship program to make whatever you do a success. This is just a comment. Then, what is the period of the mentorship before exiting? Because you find also sometimes people are called and you meet your mentor, and there's never a beginning or an end, but you have a mentor and you don't actually succeed. And another comment is also very impressed with your skills, audit that you've done with your staff. It is very good. You should keep doing that. When I always find that if all partners can do that, where you actually interview people and find out what is their skills and then place them. It is a very successful method, and I also wish you well in that, so that you know you've got the right person, it's a passion, it goes with. You find sometimes that people are in jobs because of unemployment. They're not in the job because of passion. So I can see that you will succeed if you use that method. And we hope that it's not just in paper, but if we actually live it and exercise and experience it. So I want to thank you for that part, because it's very, very good that you do that. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. It's appreciated. I think I'm covered by a lot of my colleagues in the main. I'm glad to see the presentation. Our concern obviously always is that this, since the start of this term, India had a new mandate. We never got what those mandates were, and they were never delivered anyway. We'll sit with another mandate. although I must say that it would appear that a lot more consideration and genuine concerns that we've addressed have gone into this presentation, which relieves me tremendously. My only concern is, it's on page, I think it's your slide 32. The plan is wonderful, the restructuring is wonderful, but there's a lot of things that says there. The function shift was granted on the 25th of October 2016 for further consideration by MinMAC. Great. We must now still request MinMAC to approve the shifting function. The minister will still then need to appoint a team to lead the function shift process. Only then will the project team start a process of engaging, and it's all futuristic. And a lot of this futuristic planning is obviously very, very dependent on the budgets for this being approved, because it's obviously having quite a tremendous budget. Just the plan is good, we're great if we had the budget. What if we don't get the budget? And you did say that you're hoping by this time next year that this shift will be finalized and functional. What happens in the interim? And what is plan B if we don't get all the budgeting? We would obviously like to see this plan implemented, but there's always behind the scenes and a crashing economy, which doesn't help us. What's plan B? Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Shivale will come to your rescue because he is responsible for your establishment. And therefore, he is here to ensure that what they have agreed with you, you will be able to implement. So I, when you answer, you will give that. I want to give that freedom that they are not just here as DSG, they are just here because they are responsible for your operation. So you can come on, Baba.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I will just make a few comments. I think I've also been largely covered, but just to say to the CEO, we welcome the presentation. I think a lot of work's gone on into it. I think we feel positive about the shift in direction. I think what I appreciated is the frank acknowledgement that some of your critical challenges. You talk, for example, about having offices not in the rural areas where it's most needed. You also spoke about, for example, having too many executives, whereas you need foot soldiers on the ground to do the work. And I think that sort of shift in focus is really appreciated. And just to say, in terms of the offices as municipalities, just as a side comment, I wish they could have given you those offices for free. I don't know why you should be negotiating leases at exorbitant prices when you are fighting for the poorest of the poor. You are fighting to develop our country. And I really, as I said here, I know my political party only governs 14 municipalities, but I wish I could phone the mayors and ask them to make office space available, because really, I mean, this is in the interest of all South Africans. It's in the interest of this organization. And with your limited budget, to be going to municipalities to beg them for office space, for me, really, it speaks volumes. And we need people to be on board to be able to assist you. I just have got two quick questions. You spoke in terms of, you said one of the critical challenges is the fact that you often do not follow through in terms of monitoring and evaluation. Have you got a monitoring and evaluation framework in place now? If you can just expand on that. Also, Honourable Abrams spoke about the skills audit. When I listened to you, it sounded to me like you were still finalising the skills audit, or have you finalised that? Is it done? Okay. And then finally, just also to ask the question in terms of what Honourable Wilson asked. I think one of your challenges has been the fact that you've been in limbo in terms of your mandate, etc. Now you're talking in the slide in terms of the future plan, but yeah, what is plan B if Treasury or the funding is not approved? If we can just hear that. Thank you.
Thank you. So there was a lot of information, a lot to take in, but obviously it all looks really promising. But the change in itself often creates problems. And so the thought comes to mind is when there is a transition period, what will you put in place to pick up early warning signs where change is creating any added difficulties for you? Just liking the proposal that my colleague just made now in terms of you being able to contact the municipalities in terms of what can they do. And the ACDP Councillor Kissendruth in Swani is probably in a situation where he could maybe influence something around those areas. Thank you, and all of it.
I don't know whether Mama Wood can allow me to respond and allow you at a later stage. You can talk. Okay, sure. Mama Wood, you feel that when a dad lunch, how was good to dad?
Thanks a lot, Chairperson, because I will have to leave at South Korea as well. It's just that everyone thanks the NDA, for their presentation. But normally, when it comes to these presentations, we normally have all the challenges of the now, and then how will you overcome? So I think many asked about challenges now. Let's speak to how these challenges will affect your core mandate. And then the other thing, I'm listening to how everyone is just very jovial about municipalities. everyone speaking about the poor. And I'm glad that we have the NDA in, because within the metro of Port Elizabeth, the indigenous policy is being scrapped by the opposition party there. And not opposition party, I mean the opposition party is sitting here, the DA. What is happening? Everyone receives, you know, the poor, like the grantees, the old age pensioners, and I believe it's happening in all our metros. They receive, you know, SMSs to say they have to pay their electricity and water and what they're owing to the municipality, or else their electricity and water will be shut down. So I wanted to mention that, because everyone is thinking about the municipality, you know, giving you something free of charge. But here we're sitting with the municipality that is taking these things away from our people, but they like speaking about, we are yet to champion the poor. Thank you.
And mortgage in the presentation. Umbuzo wami sewubuze ngu-Honorable Mabilo malunga nabasebenzi, so ndidlula ke apho ndizocela ubuza ke kwii-programs ezi ke and strategic objectives. Ndibona uprogram 1, ndibona uprogram 2, ndibone uprogram 4. Ingaba uprogram 3 kwenzeke njani ngaye, okanye ulibalekile, okanye uya abolishwa or kanjani? Bendicela ukuza ke phaa kuma enkosi kakhulu.
Siyabonga umama, she wanted to check if they have forgotten for program 2. Kodwa ke besengicela nanokuthi le ndaba yama-programs asiyeke ukuze mase bebuya baqonde njengama-departments wonke ukuthi sikhuluma ngama-program manje ne-funding noku-implementa. Angisho ukuthi angaphendule, kodwa sengisho ukuthi besifuna kakhulukazi i-structural arrangement ukuze-ke manje ukuthi u-allocate malini kwi-program nini kube yinto-ke sizoyixoxa uma sesiqhubeka ne-oversight. Nanokuthi-ke sorry about that. So I wanted to deal more on structural arrangements so that when we engage in oversight in the meeting that we have with them or routine oversight, they will dwell on programs and on funding and on progress in those. But this one is merely the transformation process that we wanted to learn from. If I may, I would want to say I wish, because there were questions and recommendations and comments, mine would be to say, please assure me that the work that we have been doing, where you were sustaining, is not going to suffer during this transition. If there was a project or a program that was budgeted for, what that was new pipeline, if it may not in the process before voting, now that she has a new room, and allow that room to vote outside, if you could do that for us. And secondly, I also would warn you that because of the challenges out there, one thing that we must never be forgotten by this portfolio committee in their day-to-day work is that you are now responsible for alleviating more burden out of the very department. So in your program, you will also target the beneficiaries. Because sometimes it seems exaggerated when you say you spend X billion on grants. Because grants are never sustainable. You give me food today, you know the process, natural process. I'll have nothing tomorrow and want another plate. So you can give me this plate up until I'm gray-headed and up until I die. And some of our people are misled to the fact that they condition themselves that even if I don't do anything, by 6 years, government is going to come. But those people don't contribute anything. So I think you will also be looking more and more, and I think the board also can contribute on this. When we finalize our plan, we must also ensure that the resolutions of Mafi Kang of the African National Congress conference said our people will be empowered and enabling policies will be in place to empower our people so that they can lift themselves out of poverty. This must not be lost, because it's a stage where we want our people to participate and find this grant as a complementary to their own struggles on a daily basis of survival. And therefore, if you also take all your budget and use it in coordination with other departments, therefore their different mandates, you might find yourself unable to move forward, unable to say, this is what we did. Instead, you're saying, part of what I did is there, part of what I did, but you wouldn't be saying, so please keep some funds so that you can initiate. And then you can say, the fire is burning, please bring more wood. Health, I need your wood. For the security, I need your wood. My fire is actually there. There is smoke, you can see. I think these will be taken on board, and I do believe that given what the members are saying, we will have a Monangena workshop here in Parliament so that we can, before you present finally to Cabinet, so that we can have enough time to add here and there, having enough time and not under pressure that we'll be going to. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members, and thank you for such empowering contributions. Even the questions are empowering on their own, because they are like a hindsight of the gaps that we need to be conscious of. But I'm safe to say, having that coming from honorable members gives me such ease. You know, when you come to such platforms and you always watch on TV from that angle, but having engaged, and I can see us grow further as NDA if we are given the opportunity to interface with Portfolio Committee in building up, especially since Portfolio Committee as well, honorable members, are interfacing with the community. So that hindsight will close the gap much faster than we would have done with just officials. In appreciation of the comments and questions, being new in the
office, I wouldn't want, what I told my team, I wouldn't want an expenditure when we go, wherever we go, you just go to accompany the CEO. You have taken a flight, you have booked in a hotel, you have taken a car, you are going to bed to work. So you bring your team as per their area of expertise. So that when this type of question comes, that area of expertise is put into actuality to make up for the cost and expenditure that they are here today. I will take some, but I will allow Mr. Nejipale to respond on the one of the staff in regards to the shift. I would allow my CFO to take the one on the analysis of the costing, the cost analysis and findings thereof. On the challenges, honourable members, the approach that we're engaged in is a challenge environment as such. If you had to begin to tabulate them, you would not start to begin with the repositioning. But in approaching in advance and being proactive, these three were trying to deal with the possible challenges that might come pay stream. So in the challenges that we have, which is the challenge of the infrastructure, which we'll really appreciate if honourable members in their interface, in their own constituencies, they will assist us in facilitation of these negotiations. We'll really appreciate that, especially in the areas of brand we are really thin. Not to say that the budget that is allocated for this shift, for this financial year 2016-17, it was allocated for phase one as a start to the prioritized district, 27 district. But the challenge that has brought us here today not to have started to end is the very challenge of negotiation of the staff. So that was the key challenge in our plans, as we had budgeted to say, come 2016-17, 1st of April, we are going phase one, this is what we are targeting, subject to the availability of the space. That's where we are encountering challenges of backing and forthing. So on that one, it's the first challenge. On the second challenge, it was the challenge of having a change management strategy, because we are working with human beings, we are working with people. Whenever you bring about change, they are deemed to be uneasy, to have those tension, level of uncertainty. The stream of HR was precisely to deal with those issues on an ongoing phase. Remember, my understanding today is maybe presented by my CEO, because CEO had to consult in all provinces. There was an interface with the organized labor. The processes it's being dealt with together with an organized labor for anything that comes during the course of. So the stream that might have not a deadline timeline is the human resource stream, because we are dealing with human beings time and again. But in terms of the IT stream, the setup, the procurement of the IT systems and all that, the configuration of offices, they are on the ready. Once the office, they say we get office today, they are in there. So that timeline, they are ready. Laptop, computers, furniture, it's there. It's ready. As soon as we get offices, we move in. So that timeline of the IT is much covered. The resources, packaging of the resources, the timeline we achieved within the time that we had set. But we don't dissolve the committee entirely until the phase of the model has reached its term. So all we are saying is it's work on progress. It's not like an A to Z, but it's in process of saying how far, stop, take stock, are we still on together? We want to move together. Remember, it's new districts, it's unease in provinces, it's unease of the repositioning of individuals at head office, so we have to work with them step by step. So certain streams have a timeline which starts here and ends there. Within 1 year, it's done. But some streams will continue as long as they're popping up issues that need our immediate attention. The mentorship, I would like Mr. Mabongo to talk to that mentorship, because it talks to programs as well. The approved budget, honourable member was highlighting that the presentation was talking about the minister still having to approve. I think I need to be upfront to say that slide, I think it was mixed with the slide of the previous presentation, because as we were making new text, that slide was addressed, I think the slide 32, where we were saying there was a presentation at HSDS, it was approved. There was a presentation at the end, the 27th, and the proposed HSDS was on the 25th of October. So that slide, I think when we were making text, that slide I'm sure they missed out, which is my profuse apology on that paper. But the proposal has been approved by MINMEC as well. And the National Treasury is part of us in the journey of shifting. Hence, I had to highlight that even the CFO of the social development had to come in, the senior manager at the HR had to come in as part of the guiding team on how they did it when they were shifting the function from disability ministry and women to where we are now that we are having, which also addresses the staff issue to say the whole tech of dealing with the shift, this dedicated project team that will be approved by the minister and eventually by the finance minister. We've covered two steps of it. Now the team will be approved or okayed by the minister for us to take that step. But the expertise is there because it's been done before. So we take comfort in knowing that the CFO, having interfaced with the National Treasury, having been part of the process of the function shift of the previous department, will play a huge role in assisting us in the process. My honest apology on that slide. So that has been approved as well. I want as well Mr. Mabongo to take an M&E framework, because in the basis slide that was talking about how we've packaged monitoring norms and standards and all that, but I want Mr. Mabongo to go into details with that. And in terms of program, the slide that I was presenting, we are coming from the slide of four programs. We had administration and governance, we had CSO mobilization, we had CSO capacity building, development management and research in the previous financial year. But now what we are proposing with the new structure is three programs. To say program one, governance. So we've collapsed CSO mobilization to make CSO development across the board. Under that program, we'll have sub-programs that talk to actual civil society mobilization as sub-programs. So we're moving from four programs to three programs. I thought I must just thank you so much, Honourable Chairperson. Can I give Mr. Nechepade to take us through the responses around the staff shift from institutional capacity building to NGA, both from national up to a district level? Hi, thank you.
Thanks so much, Chairperson, and Honourable Member. Thanks, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. Indeed, in any function that shifts from one institution to other, there will be casualties. Casualties meaning some of the functions that, especially at national level, there is a directory that does that function, which I think is a straightforward that it has to be done, that it has to go to the NDA to do the NPO, broader non-profit organization in the whole country, 155,000 NGOs, a capacity on the The other staff at the provincial level is at a phase level. There's no one who's currently doing NPO capacity building. That's why the identification of NDA to render that function. So it is not so much in terms of the staff, but what he said, why we adopted a shifting of function rather than, it is because it's no longer allowed in Treasury to lobby for money. There's no money anyway. So one of the things that we need to do is, there's no money sitting anyway for NPO capacity building. You can't say request money or any other money. So the function shifting is to for the treasury to realize that there's a need for this function to take place because no one does it. So it will also attract a lot of money that they need to do to be able to do that function. Currently, they are doing NPO capacity building based on a, I mentioned last time, but I was in trouble, on a gentleman's agreement. They are doing it that way. The province will say, train this one, they give them when they want. What we want is treasury, DST, and other places, because for governance, it's all 155 NPOs that need to be trained. We want even other government to cut some of their budget for the NDA to be able to do that function, because we register everyone in the country. But specifically for capacity building, is the 7 billion that we fund NPO in the department. We must be conscious that a certain percentage of that money goes to NDA. It is the question was specifically on the staff. Currently, there's no one who's doing that anyway. It will be that function must find definition and home in NDA, but I think budget must also come from the DSD in all 9 provinces as part and parcel of the percentage of 7 billion. So I'm saying, national, yes, there will be a move for the unit that does programs and institutional capacity. There are only 5 people, so it's not a match. But provincial, a province, it is about the money rather than the people, because there's no one doing it at the present moment. And I think it's easier that way. It doesn't have any labor issues if it's only 5 people from national. But in terms of the money, yes, we need over 200 million to do this function appropriately. Actually, it is a strategic shift of empowering our own communities if we have got this function beginning to be done at a certain level, because NPOs are important. We spend 7 billion of our budget on NPOs. Therefore, it's noble that function plus the money must follow to the NDA. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. I will just deal with the two areas. One is the mentoring, and the second one is the monitoring and evaluation. But I'll be just short, because it can take the whole day. It's extremely. But I would say, as part of the service engineering stream, we have defined a framework for CSO development, and part of that framework has got standard guidelines and tools and processes and procedures for mentoring and for monitoring and evaluation. So it defines, one, how you assess the need for mentoring and for incubation and classifying, and based on each of where the level of need is, it will then determine the duration that you have to take with that particular organization to take it from A to B. It then defines it in detail. It then defines the tools that you've got to use in order to monitor whether or not that organization is developing the capacities that you were trying to intervene at, and it provides you the report. So, Chair, we have that model, that framework, quite large, and I'm sure through you, Chair, that probably when we have that workshop, we can share the details around. If I can talk now, it can be tomorrow.
The Office of the Secretary of this Portfolio Committee must work with NDA in order to find a suitable date for us to deal with this matter. If we can afford,
we can bring it together with the institutional arrangement that would be everyone, because we might have a full day. Simply because if we don't finalize our inputs, they are going to delay in implementing. But for now, I will have you, as honorable members, saying this is not going to assist us. You were saying it's a work in progress, but I think we would need to polish. For example, I heard a whisper of the members talking to each other about why should such an organization be subjected to listening? Why can't sister departments at that level afford them a space? Because indeed they will reduce the indigency, they will register for the poor. I mean for the local municipalities, which are suffering from that. But maybe that will be reserved for the workshop. I do want to thank the board, CEO, and the department for addressing us this morning. At least we have hope on behalf of our community that something huge is coming, a big bang is coming. And also, what I like with the social development approach is that you will also be the buyer. I want honorable members to take this very serious that also our projects are according to where we are. If you are in Cape Town Metro, I really don't think you can engage more on agriculture, but you can do more on what is this thing, catering or whatever, clothing, because that market is in abundance. And you, if we go agriculture, it means you pay more for water in your, because I've got this, that informal settlement that has been given at the periphery, I mean peri-urban, that has been given agri projects. The citizens, the ratepayers are now saying, no, these people are finishing water. We can't have water. So when we package, this package will also be driven by geographical location of that particular one. But what I like is that when I went to Cape Town, I saw that uniform that was being distributed was coming from ordinary poor people as a cooperative supplying the government, the department, which therefore means for me the issue of if all of us will get Sunday independent, we'll see how they have done this research. A certain lady called Tracy someone, they were talking about the insufficiency of the food security nowadays. But my worry was that they were focusing on 5, 0 to 5. They didn't talk about those of my age who are also suffering the same of being malnourished of late. This not because there is no food available, there's no grant available. The food is there in market, but no one is controlling, honorable members, the prices. That they are really rocketing up, that's what they raise. That there's no shop that deals with the poor. The shop deals with every member equally. For a glass of drink, you pay the same, irrespective of how much you earn. And there is no soft spot that is identified for the needy and the poor. And I think the honorable members will also advise the chair. How can we meet that portfolio committee on trade and industry? I'm fumbling in this one because I spoke to the chair, honorable Fat, and she said she would appreciate an invitation of a joint because they deal with the food. I mean, this trade is about them if they are trade and industry. Trade is about them, then they must assist but the need for food is too far much more than we used to know. If you go to the shop, you sometimes don't buy it because you are surprised. You didn't know that this water is now so much. You last saw it being so much. With this, I need to say thank you very much for the members, and thank you very much for your robust debate. It takes us to the next level. Okay, the last one is an announcement that I think you have received an invitation to the COPPA meeting. Can you read, because some members have not received it. Please, if you read it for them, we are invited to be part of the COPPA meeting in a day to be fair. But can I now release the board? New CEO, a brand new CEO, a brand new board, and also our department. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I thought Chairperson was going to ask, why am I being flanked by that gentleman? On a lighter note, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. I didn't want to embarrass you. I thought I would ask you aside because I see men on you.
Okay.
Thank you for your attendance and your participation. Can I give you farewell?